Hi, friends. Welcome to the Soap Opera Royalty Podcast. I'm your host, Cherie. We are back with episode 3 of the Soap Opera Royalty spinoff, Dallas. The series revolved around the affluent and feuding family, the Ewings, who owned Ewing Oil and the mega cattle ranch, South Fork. From the marriage of Bobby Ewing and Pam Barnes to the cliffhanger of Who Shot JR and all the romance, adultery, greed, corruption, and machinations in between, it is just a hoot and a half. As always, joining me as co-host for this spinoff is none other than my good friend and Dallas aficionado, Hunter Kelly. Hunter is a media personality both in front of and behind the camera, interviewing hundreds of country music artists. He has been a country music correspondent for ABC News Radio and Good Morning America. He's covered the major country music award shows, the CMAs and ACMs. He has written articles for Rolling Stone magazine and has been a staple in the Nashville country music community for many years. In addition to being a host of All Our Favorite People podcast, he most recently became the host of Proud Radio on Apple Music Country, interviewing none other than the legendary Dolly Parton. Adding to his already stellar resume is being tapped as the host of a new conversation series from the famed 92Y in New York City, aptly titled From Nashville, Music Talks with Hunter Kelly, his first guest being the great Wynonna Judd. So please make sure you check both of those out. We've had so much fun so far, and we hope you all have too. Please welcome my co-host for the Soap Opera Royalty spinoff, the ever-charming Hunter Kelly.
Hi, Hunter.
Hello, Cherie. We have so much to get to because we decided that we are going to end seasons one and two. I mean,
yes.
The miniseries and the first full season. So, I mean, we got a lot to get to. We better get to talking.
We got to get to talking. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. It's going to be a fun, fun day closing out the first season.
Also, hello to the staff at South Fork Ranch. And thank you, Victoria Principal, for liking our post on Instagram. If you would like to talk about your time as Pamela Barnes Ewing, or as Miss Ellie calls you, Pam, then we would love to have you on.
We would definitely love to have you on, Victoria Principal, or Charlene Tilton.
Oh my gosh, I got to get in touch with Charlene Tilton. Somebody,
Charlene Tilton.
Mm-hmm. She's here. She's here.
Yeah, or Linda Gray. Or
Linda Gray.
Patrick Duffy.
Did you see Linda Gray's message to the people of Texas?
I have not seen that yet.
Oh, because of the snowstorm and everything, and there's just no power, and it's just really awful statewide. She had a great video just saying that she, you know, loved them and believed in them and spent so much time, and that she loves Texans and was just wishing them well through all of this.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And yeah, a lot of love being sent to our friends in Texas. Obviously, Dallas is a great city, and I've visited several times, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And one of these days, we're going to get down there to the South Fork Ranch. Big shout out to them. But
I'm just going to put this out into the world. I think we tape one of these on the patio at South Fork Ranch.
You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
I enjoy a patio / veranda.
Yeah, I think we can do it. I think I just see us, and you know, sitting at the table, maybe in Jock and Ellie's places out on the patio, you know, where they would have breakfast.
I see that too. Mm-hmm. I have a vision. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. But we do send a lot of love to our friends in Texas, and stay safe and stay warm. And hopefully it'll all be over soon and we'll be back to normal with the weather. So episode 16, Triangle
starring Kate Mulgrew, of course, Star Trek star, and Orange is the New Black.
Oh, love her.
She plays the aspiring country singer Garnet McGee.
Garnet McGee.
And this is the first, you know, we do have singers on Dallas. As we've said before, Lucy in an earlier episode sang Silver Threads and Golden Needles. And now that she, for some reason, is out at this bar with Bobby and Pam and a guy she's seeing. She wants to be a singer again because of Garnet McGee. And so we have Garnet. She's singing I'll Be Your San Antonio Rose, which is a song by Dotsy, D-O-T-T-S-Y. Go look up Dotsy, who's from Texas and actually was having hits in the 70s. But Garnet McGee, what a force.
She is. And I remember Kate Mulgrew from Ryan's Hope, the daytime soap opera. Ryan's Hope. She played Mary Ryan Finelli. And
I remember that now. Oh, Kate Mulgrew.
Kate Mulgrew. That's daytime. That's your daytime connection, people. We love it. She was Star Trek Voyager, too.
Star Trek Voyager. Correct.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, it's very interesting. And JR back to his machinations, trying to get Garnet into his boudoir.
His boudoir. Well, of course, so it turns out we're doing this here in Nashville. So mm-hmm. it turns out JR has some country music industry connections with Down Home Records.
Indeed, he does.
Down Home Records. So he signs her to an agreement. We're getting ahead of ourselves here, but he signs her to an agreement for her exclusive services. And by that, he means sexing. Yeah.
I wonder if that was in the fine print. Not real sure how that works.
No, so, you know, the whole thing is, okay, so originally Garnet in this episode is going out with Ray Krebs, and they have, and Ray is head over heels in love with Garnet McGee.
Yes, he is.
But she's very clear on what she can give him. She is committed to her career. According to Pam Ewing, Garnet lived with a songwriter before, and that's how she built up her repertoire. And so Pam says that as an indication that Garnet uses people. I just see that as an indication that Garnet is driven, that and has what it takes to make
that's,
it.
That's very, very true. A little ambition.
Yeah. So, you know, Ray and earlier in the series, Ray and JR would really go off and, you know, they would be cohorts in all kinds of tomfoolery. In this episode, we really see once and for all as JR tries to steal Garnet away from him with the lure of Down Home Records and the recording contract, that Ray is not going to be messing with JR anymore. He's got JR's number and it's over.
Yes, it Anger. Is. And he beats him up. You know, they come to fisticuffs.
They do come to fisticuffs. Once Ray discovers JR and Garnet on the pullout bed, the pullout couch bed in Garnet's home, which, first of all, I'm surprised. I mean, JR must have really wanted Garnet to be making love on a pullout bed because, you know, he has standing accounts at all kinds of hotels in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Truth. Truth. But it's nothing as classy as the pull-out bed at Garnet.
No, but I do love Garnet. She's just so driven. And I hate that this is the only episode she appears in, because I would have, you know, as we go along in this first season, there are people who were like, hey, take note of this person and take them into your heart because you're going to be seeing them.
That's
Garnet
true.
Is one of those I regret. This is a standalone episode and we don't see Garnet again.
We do not. And we're very sad for Ray Krebs.
Well, Ray Krebs just got his heart broken.
He got his heart broken after, you know, he's been unlucky in love, I think is the correct term.
And then Bobby says to JR after, you know, the fisticuffs are over, JR, you have one unholy knack for making every good friend you ever had into an enemy.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah. Bobby and here. Then Lucy threw herself at... Did Lucy throw herself at Ray again in this episode? Yeah.
I think she did. She does a lot of that.
Yeah, so this is another episode where Lucy wants... I mean, she wants Garnet's life. She, you know, she's got a girl crush on Garnet. She wants her career. She wants her man, Ray.
That's right. That's right.
So Lucy's still trying to find herself, and that's going to come up... Oh, Lucy's still on a journey of discovery. And bless her heart, she's only a senior in high school. I mean,
she's learning.
She hasn't even graduated from high school, but the life experience Lucy gets in these episodes.
It's second to none.
Okay.
All right, moving forward.
Whereas Garnet McGee was a standalone character we would have loved to see, the next episode, episode 17, Fallen Idol,
yes,
has a character that I am happy never to see again, Guzzler, Bobby's long-lost friend from college, who turns out to be a user, a womanizer, and a con artist.
Yes.
All-around creep.
Who wanted to build a strip mall on South Fork.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, I was, first of all, Okay, you know, the land is so important to Miss Ellie. And does, and so in this episode, she's like, does every piece of land have to be used? So we really do in this episode see, as Bobby and Guzzler are driving in Bobby's Mercedes convertible, we do see, like, there's a neighborhood, like, of tract houses that are all packed close together. And then across the street, you see nothing but open land where he wants to build. And that turns out to be South Fork land.
Yes.
So, yes. And, you know, with Guzzler, things tend to move quickly.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So the strip mall.
Very quickly.
With maybe a grocery store and a laundromat somehow turns into Neiman Marcus and Lord and Taylor are calling.
Yeah.
Which Neiman Marcus is headquartered in Dallas. It's not. And the first Lord and Taylor and Neiman Marcus I ever went to myself, were in Dallas at the North Park Mall.
Just yeah. I love that mall. Mm-hmm.
It's
by
a
the way.
Great mall.
Just FYI. Yeah. I love that mall. And also, we do love them all. But you know, it was going to be a Little Caesars and a Whataburger.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Because I love a Whataburger, I'm not gonna lie.
I know, but then it went really upscale. Things went crazy. And then Pam goes back and forth. She has Guzzler's number. He's a womanizer.
Yes.
And again, Lucy is hungry for father figures, and sometimes that gets misconstrued for sexing. And again, yes. She's a senior in high school. So the romantic scenes between Lucy and Guzzler, where Guzzler's telling her all about the women he's loved all around the world, really made me uncomfortable.
Yes.
So I'm glad that we only have Guzzler in this one episode.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, once I read in Barbara Curran's book about this episode, did you read?
Yeah, I did.
What
I
happened
did.
To the actor who played Guzzler, Richard Kelton, that he actually died of a heart attack the week before this episode aired.
And it was very strange. It's very
strange. So part of me was like, oh, weird. God, I feel bad. I feel bad for saying that I never want to see this person again. But I want to be clear. I don't want to ever see Guzzler again. I would have been with Richard Kelton in a recast, maybe, and a different hairdo, because his hair also was creepy. But Richard Kelton as a person, he was fine. Just the character Guzzler. Yeah.
Also in this episode, Bobby is very underestimated, you know, because everybody thinks that Bobby is unaware in this episode. And you know that Miss Ellie loves her sons more than the what?
The land.
Just like Sue Ellen's continuously a drunk, Miss Ellie loves the land. So... But I love the fact that Bobby flips the switch on everybody at the end of the episode and is like, hey, I'm not dumb. I know I've got the guy's number too.
Yeah. You know, so
good episode.
But doesn't do much for the momentum of the story that we're going to get into.
It does not.
And then
it does not.
And I feel like in this batch of episodes, we got into we had to meet these new people and have these one-off situations. I think they were trying to figure out what to do with Bobby, really, because in episode 18, kidnapped, whereas Lucy was kidnapped in a previous episode. Now Bobby's been kidnapped, which I think they wanted J.R. Ewing, but they ended up getting Bobby. These creepy kidnappers.
Yeah.
Who were all over the place.
Yeah. Especially that woman.
The woman was weird. I'm not sure where she was coming from. But yeah, I mean, this is the third time in 18 episodes that Ewings have been held at gunpoint against their will. So you had the first one with Brian Dennehy and his cohort during the hurricane.
That's
the
right.
The Dallas hurricane.
Sue Ellen had the
same
home.
People.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was funny to be, you know, my question here is, since you are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, Ewing family, are we talking about some personal security maybe at this point?
Right.
I would think so.
And for a family that does have that kind of money, remember the episode where the reporter comes to the door?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, maybe we close the gate. I don't know.
Close the gate and get a security guard out there, you know?
I don't know what's going on. But
the kidnappers, yeah. The kidnappers did their homework. They had slides of JR and they were all really just organized. So they wanted $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. Bobby tries to talk to them. I mean, Cliff ends up going out there.
Is the go-between.
And so in the end, you know, there's this whole thing where, well, they do end up getting security. It's the guys on the ranch, and JR and Ray go out there, and they end up doing some kind of guerrilla warfare. And some of the kidnappers die when they weren't supposed to have any.
Any
kidnappers or FBI or police, and they do all of that. Anyway.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you that my favorite line from this episode comes from one of the kidnappers, where the line is, "We can kill him and go to Wyoming. No one knows us there." Okay. All right. Does anyone know anybody in Wyoming?
Right. Wait, is that where
Shout out to our fans in Wyoming.
Is that where Dick Cheney's from?
I just thought it was the funniest thing. It's like, we could go to Wyoming. Nobody knows them there. Well, so they're known in all the other states, but Wyoming. I mean,
they're serial kidnappers, so they're on the run.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they can go to Jackson Hole. I hear it's very nice.
Well, and very, you know, nice. I mean, I bet Dick Cheney would have had some dealings with the Ewings at some point, being in the energy business.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
I love... in this episode also the things written on the walls.
Yes.
In the hideout house where they're keeping Bobby chained up. Yeah. One is Poncho and Lefty, which I think is a reference to the Townes Van Zandt song.
Yes.
At this point, that song had not been recorded by Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard and become a mainstream country hit. So that's kind of a deep cut. Proud of him for that. And the other one was Punk Rule that I noticed. So the woman is kind of, she goes between kind of being like a wise guy kind of woman and then being a punk, you know, at other times.
But the look of the woman is very, I don't know, I want to say like South Carolina librarian.
Yeah. I mean,
she
really did look like she'd just come out of an Olo Mills Church Directory photo shoot with her look. Living a life of crime. When you want to live a life of crime, but be able to go to the store, you know, and be able to be waited on at the store with Pamela, you know.
Yeah. Maybe she should go to Pamela, and then she can upgrade from Olin Mills to Glamour Shots.
Yeah. So this one, this is another one that I'm like, could have done without. Bobby does look hot with a 3-day beard, though, I will say. In this episode. Also, I want to point out, this is the first time we see Teresa, the maid who will be on for the duration of Dallas.
That's exactly right.
Teresa, the maid, who really gets no character development. And she, I mean, at one point in this series, she does go to the movies with Raul, the butler.
Right.
At South Fork. So you're wondering, well, is there something going on there? But really, we don't ever learn anything about Teresa. She just really does a good job of staying in the background, being a servant, taking the calls, and keeping her mouth shut about all the drama at South Fork.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. And as a nod to this time when these episodes were shot, these are the characters and actors and actresses they cast in these roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, it's very different today. We don't necessarily do that in television. It's a lot more diverse in the way that the families are portrayed. Not every family is a white family, not every, you know, that kind of thing. So, but back then, that's how it was.
Yeah.
We are not glorifying that or glamorizing it. No. It's just simply a set of the times.
Well, and you see the difference in the TNT reboot.
100%.
Cynthia Cidre, they did have. Now, this is what bothered me about the reboot was that the maid at South Fork, they just didn't have her be Teresa.
Right.
That they, it was somebody, I guess somebody new that came on in the early 90s after the original series ends. Mm-hmm. But for me, that just, I just would love to have seen, even in the reboot, who was Teresa? And you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was she? Know. We'll never know. We see her a lot, but we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Okay.
Moving forward. That was a good episode. I did notice the woman tried to seduce Bobby.
Well, who wouldn't? If you had Bobby Ewing chained up, especially with that 3-day beard.
I know. And I'll be honest with you, we'd probably end up in Wyoming.
I mean, at least make the request, you know. Okay. Now, episode 19, yes. Home Again. Mm-hmm. We have Miss Ellie's brother, who she thought was dead for 40 years, show up. Garrison Southworth shows up at South Fork. And so there's a question in this episode of whether or not Garrison is the rightful heir to South Fork, since it came from, you know, Miss Ellie inherited only because Garrison was thought to be deceased.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Hunter, but if somebody came back from the dead,
mm-hmm. as they are wont to do,
I would have a little bit of a bigger reaction.
It was really interesting. You know, this was a phenomenon of the time, though. This is a side note, but one of my favorite Shelley Long movies is Hello Again.
I love that movie.
Corbin Burnson, Celia Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Judith Ivy. And so it is a thing where in that movie, you know, Shelley Long's character has been dead for a year and then she comes back and there's a moment where she meets her son again, sees her son again. And at first he's like, is this a joke? And then she does something, he knows it's her, and then they just hug. And it was kind of the same thing of like with Garrison, with Miss Ellie, like, you're back. You know, it's like, what the heck? You know, so really bizarre. But there are a lot of things that happen in this episode that bring the overall story of the season forward. We remember once again that Sue Ellen is pregnant and that the father could be, you know, Cliff or JR. They're picking out, you know, the nursery colors, and you know, Miss Ellie says something about the child being a chip off the old block. We're not sure because it could be a Barnes, but I was glad to see them revisit that. And then there's reports of a truck at Section 40, which is the oil rich section of South Fork.
Right.
And so while we have this question of, is Garrison the rightful owner of South Fork? Mm-hmm. We also have JR being underhanded and saying, and secretly forging Jock's will.
Yes.
To say that he will be able to drill on South Fork in the instance of Jock's death. Crazy stuff. So it's crazy stuff. This episode, I feel like after a lot, there is Garrison and that whole thing. And but that does help us see like the importance of South Fork and also Miss Ellie's dedication to her role as a Southworth and the legacy of South Fork, as well as being a Ewing. Because the Ewings with Dallas, with Ewing Oil, they can overtake everything. So the fact that Miss Ellie is standing up as a Southworth in this episode speaks to her having her own identity, and I do appreciate that.
I do too, and I love that we find out that Gary is named after Garrison.
Yes.
And Miss Ellie, it really roots her in how much she loves her family. Mm-hmm. You know, to even think that she would give South Fork to her brother.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show you it's not about what they have necessarily. It's really rooted in her deep family roots. I like that about Miss Ellie.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
she's one of my favorite characters.
Garrison and Gary, both dead to certain members of the Ewing family.
Yeah. maybe we could have Miss Ellie on the show. What if the brother came back from the dead?
Barbara Bel Geddes, talk to us.
I love her.
Let's have a seance.
God rest her soul, but she's amazing. Oh, amazing. Gosh. Love her.
Turns out this woman that Garrison is traveling with, Kathy, is his nurse, and that he's come home to die.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, we don't see Garrison anymore. So yeah. You would think Miss Ellie would be checking in on him.
Yeah. Those are the things that bother me, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like when they don't wrap up the storyline and then literally never make reference to it ever again.
Yeah.
All you need is a line or two. You need a little of a less than a minute conversation between two characters. That was your brother. That was Garrison's blah, blah, blah. He has passed and I got to go to the funeral on Thursday or whatever it is.
And that's it. It just is a real loose end here.
Yeah.
That Dallas is really, really great at, and we will see it, they get even better as we go into these next episodes. They get even better about not leaving loose ends like that, so this is a glaring one.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but let's
for love or money.
Let's keep going. For love or money.
Gosh.
This is the debut of Fern Fitzgerald as Marilee Stone. Marilee Stone is somebody that you will come to know over the course of, and I just really appreciate Fern Fitzgerald. I mean, this side eye that you see Marilee giving just as a member of the DOA throwing shade on Sue Ellen when Sue Ellen, as the president of the DOA, drunk. When, you know, they see JR with a side piece at a hotel in Fort Worth. And Marilee is back there just throwing side eye to her other bitchy friend about... Oh my God.
A lot of side eye.
She's been lying to us. Sue Ellen is so embarrassed in this episode because, you know, JR just makes a fool out of her in front of her friends by cheating. You know, they see him with another woman, you know, and it's so funny because we've talked about on this series that when JR doesn't like a woman, he calls him a tramp.
Yes.
But then, when Sue Ellen calls the side piece he was with in the hotel, JR, a tramp, she calls that woman a tramp. JR says she wasn't a tramp. She was a fine young lady. Oh, I bet. Anyway.
You gotta love it.
So Cliff, you know, is at the store getting some designer duds. He's moved up in the world with the Office of Land Management. And, you know... Cliff and Sue Ellen, there's still that going on. About JR.
And this is the introduction of Colleen Camp as Kristen.
Well, and this is, oh, it is. This is another instance where this is not the real Kristen.
Right.
There's going to be a recast. So the iconic Kristen is not here, but the character of Kristen Shepherd is here. She's jailbait, and you start to see, you know, Sue Ellen, you know, Patricia is basically a madam to her daughters, making sure that they marry well. And it is important to her that they marry well and keep up appearances. But she does not treat her daughters how to take care of themselves, their own self, and bolster their own self-worth, as we see from Sue Ellen's alcoholism.
Yes.
In this episode, in this season, in the entire series. So, yeah, Kristen, and you see, like, you know, looks, you know, between JR and Kristen.
Yeah. It's setting the stage is what it's doing. Setting the stage. But I'll tell you, I wasn't a fan of Colleen. I like Colleen Camp, the actress. I think she's very funny. She's goes on to a very good career as like a sidekick. Not ever really a leading lady, but she is a sidekick and very funny. This was out of place for me. It wasn't a good casting call in my opinion. But obviously they thought differently. But especially when you think of the Kristen that will be introduced in a few episodes. Is a completely different. I mean, it literally went 180 degrees. They really did that.
So this, we're getting introduced to the idea of Sue Ellen's sister and the actress who plays Patricia, who I don't have her name in front of me, but she's just, you know, fabulous, and she stays through. She plays the role. So get to know that Patricia.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but there's some of the lines in here between JR and Sue Ellen where they have these fights that are just so brutal. You know, JR is like, I'm willing to accept that little bastard you're carrying as my child. And then Sue Ellen says, you can go straight to hell. I mean, and then, you know, Sue Ellen's back over at Cliff's, and then Pamela
Yes.
Discovers.
That's right.
Sue
Is
Edlund.
It a scarf?
It's a scarf. And you know that was Hermes or something very nice from the store.
You know, I love an Hermes scarf. If anybody wants to send me one, that'd $100,
you know, really expensive perfume. Mm-hmm. So Pam discovers that Sue Ellen and Cliff have been having an affair, and there's a possibility that, well, she's gonna be an aunt to this baby no matter what, but it just depends on who the father is. But either way, Pam will be in this child's life.
Is she gonna be a biological
or just by marriage?
Aunt, or just by marriage.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Oh my God. But then like later when Sue Ellen goes off to her mom's house and JR comes in and talks about, I mean, he threatens to have the child aborted.
Yeah.
I mean, the cruelty is off the charts.
That's right. That's right. It's very interesting that they bring that up, you know, still taboo subject in the 80s.
Well, so the way JR does it, that the end of this episode is chilling. That JR makes Sue Ellen go and break things off with Cliff and come back home to South Fork.
Yeah.
And then she gets into the car just utterly defeated. And Sue Ellen, you know, she's going back to South Fork. She doesn't want to. She's forced to live in this hell. And just to rub it in, JR says, I'm not going to be home tonight. I'm going to be out doing whatever. I'm going to be sleeping with one of my very fine young ladies who's not a slut.
Not a tramp.
Yeah.
Not a tramp.
That was just cruel and shockingly cruel and very entertaining.
Very entertaining. And I will tell you one of the things that it is so funny that we like literally laugh at this, but it really speaks volumes when she had to get into that car. Mm-hmm. And if you ever watch this audience, ever watch this episode, one of the things that is just so searing to me that just shows the kind of man that JR is, he doesn't even open the door for her.
No.
She does. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like she has to just stand there and she's, you know.
Yeah.
It's just getting in that car and the look on her face and the look on his face of complete satisfaction. Mm-hmm. You just want to slap him.
I mean, that's the thing. This is what we're beginning to see. Like, the cruelty is so over the top that you have to take it as camp and start laughing at it. And that's where, like, Dallas becomes a comedy and a farce. Because if you take it literally, you're like, oh, my. You know, and there's parts, I don't know. I mean, they just play it so well in that it's not like really dark. Like if this was on The Wire or something, or even The Sopranos, it would, they would cut it with laughter, but it would really be dark. And with this, it's just so over the top that you can't, I can't take it seriously. I laugh at it, which is, they knew that. They were playing it as so over the top that it was just a, you know. Funny.
Oh yeah, very funny. And but it's also the episodes that we're talking about now that we can see that how much we are starting to love to hate JR. Because this show was never supposed to be about JR.
No,
never supposed to be. It was kind of like Good Times was never supposed to be about JJ Evans, and it. You know, and it just became
Family Matters
that.
Was never supposed to be about Urkel.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Exactly.
Whereas I feel like the gravity of Family Matters and Good Times, something was lost in making it about. And same with Happy Days turning out to be about Fonzie. Mm-hmm. It got away from the initial idea. Dallas only became richer.
100%. 100%. It's literally like it's. I mean, it's iconic. That's the thing about it. It went from, you know, I mean, it's literally like, I can't even say a cult hit because it just became
it was global.
Such a great.
Well, and here's the thing, like earlier in this episode of us talking, it felt like, okay, we have to get through this episode and then this episode. And then, you know, and they're just right now we're just on a rocket ship. And it's not gonna stop. And it goes on with Julie's return in episode 21, the return of Tina Louise.
Tina
as
Louise.
Julie Gray.
Love her. Love her.
So Julie Gray was the secretary at Ewing Oil for years. Of course, had an affair with Cliff Barnes, stole some files, and was run out of town. Now she's back, and in this episode, Jock Ewing, she's already slept with JR for years, so now she's going to give Daddy Jock a turn.
That's right. That's right. Well, not if Miss Ellie has anything to say about it. Gosh, this is such a good episode for Miss Ellie.
This was a great episode for Miss Ellie.
Yeah.
You know, Jock just feels like after his heart attack, everybody is dismissing him. He can't, you know, they're like, Miss Ellie's policing everything he does. No drinking, no smoking, no salt on his food.
Yeah.
And so Julie comes back and connects with Jock, and they begin, you know, they meet up at a restaurant. And then, and of course... Well, Julie arranged it. You know, Julie was looking for Jock. But they just spend time together. And, you know, Jock's buying her jewelry. And just they're going out, spending the afternoons together. And, you know, Jock is in a tracksuit. And he's feeling sporty, you know. And Miss Ellie knows something's up. Because, you know, he's got a spring in his step.
Yeah.
Miss Ellie calls Julie. And talks about it. Talk about it. But then Miss Ellie says to Jock, hey, I know this is going to be serious. But, and, you know, I know that you'll, because she's young and beautiful.
Yeah.
And so this was a great thing between Miss Ellie and Jock because, hey, you've been married 50 years. Things are going to come up.
Right. That's right.
I did appreciate the way that this was handled inside of the marriage.
Yeah. And can I ask a question? Because I don't, maybe you noticed this, Hunter. Do all the guest stars live in the same apartment building? Because every time we go to an exterior shot.
Well, I mean, I think they were different. I had seen, they're very similar. I think it's just that late 70s brutalist architecture. Everything is going to look really like a bunch of stone and concrete and steel. Or it's going to look like a ski chalet.
Yeah.
So you've got basically two things. So Julie's apartment is a bunch of concrete and stone, real brutalist architecture. And then in an upcoming episode where, spoiler alert, we'll talk about it in a minute, Pam moves out with a lady friend.
Yes.
It looks like a ski chalet. So I just think that's late 70s.
Yeah.
But there are several times... there are several times where I'm like, okay, I think this is definitely being shot in exteriors in L.A.,
yeah,
and they cut that out.
They definitely look like that.
There's a glaring example coming up.
Yeah,
So we have this apartment building, and Miss Ellie's there, and she took a cab, and then she ends up going home with Josh, but she's out there, I guess, making sure that he doesn't actually have the sex.
That's right.
This is pre-Viagra, and he's had a heart attack, so I'm just wondering really about Josh's performance. Yeah. But JR shows up after Jock leaves and goes in by force, and it starts out pretty rapey.
Yeah, it does.
But then Julie gives in. And my last note on this episode is JR is awful.
Mine is I love Miss Ellie and Jock.
Jock, yes.
I love Jock. But Jock. She's got a really great way that she pronounces names and things that a lot of emphasis on things. I love that about her. Love her. Moving forward.
Red File Part 1.
Part 1.
Yeah. So the Red File is what got Julie in trouble initially and made she had to leave town. The Red File is where JR keeps all of his records of the dirty deals he does, paying off senators. You know, there's photos of judges in Dallas and compromising positions so that he can get what he wants. And Jeb Ames and Willie Joe Garr, the two other men in the cartel, are also caught up in all this. There's a lot going on here.
A lot of stuff going on in this episode.
So, you know, earlier when Julie left, JR had given her like $100 bill and told her to go buy something nice.
Something pretty.
Made her feel like a hooker. Yeah. Well, that happens again, which, Julie, what do you expect? Okay, that's doll. Right. But that happens again, and she decides she's going to call up Cliff Barnes and sell out, and once and for all, give Cliff all the red files and ammunition he needs.
That's right.
To take JR down.
That's right. I did want to point out that this episode begins with JR and Julie walking on the dock.
They're supposed to be down in Galveston. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they're in Santa Monica.
Probably so.
Yeah.
But they're drinking champagne. They're holding the bottle. And I just thought when I saw that, I'm like, celebrities, just like us. Because I don't know about you, Hunter. When I go down on the dock, I always take a bottle of Dom Perignon with me.
Well, yeah.
And glasses.
Well, I think they were probably at the hotel. You know, in my head, the hotel is right on the water down there. Yeah. And so they took them from the hotel.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Celebrities, they're just like us. But they pump their own gas, too.
Not at that time. Not at that time in L.A. and Dallas.
So we do find out about the red file, and a lot of champagne drinking in this episode, I noticed.
Well,
across the board. A lot of it. Yeah. Gosh, I'm telling you. and my note is JR treating Julie Gray like a whore again.
Yep, it's true. So she calls up Cliff Barnes, who she's run into again, and offer, you know, and she says, I'm ready to sell. She leaves a message on his answering machine, which this is a big honking answering machine in 1978 or 79. But she leaves a message on Cliff's answering machine saying that she's ready to sell. One guy is tapping Cliff's phone for both Jeb Ames and Willie Joe Garr and also JR separately. So Ames and Garr hear this and head over to Julie's home.
That's
and
right.
The brutalist architecture, a lot of concrete.
A lot of concrete.
And,
it gets scary.
It gets really scary. Cliff also gets the message and comes over after Ames and Garr.
That's right.
There's the message, and then a woman sees Cliff in the building. So
that's right. There's a witness.
Yeah. So Ames and Garr chase Julie up to the roof, and Julie falls off the roof of her apartment building and dies.
Yes, she does. And it's a very sad moment because we love Tina Louise.
Well, and that coat she was wearing was wonderful.
Oh, so good. But I always ask, why does everybody run to the roof? Where do you think you're going to go? And unless she was going to use that coat as a cape.
Well, but that's the thing. I was thinking that too, but it does make sense because she's trapped in the stairwell. And so Ames or Garr, which they're not on the show much longer, so I'm not going to commit to memory which one is which.
Yeah.
He's down there, so he's chasing her up. Like, she has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But up. And unlike the Shania Twain song, up, 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 can only go up from here. It's not a good thing for Julie Gray.
It is not. It turned out to not be a good decision.
Yeah. So we in this episode, we meet Harry McSween, who is a dirty cop on the Dallas police force that JR has in his back pocket. And he's the one sent to talk to Cliff Barnes. Well, Ames and Garr, they're about to skip town. JR has access to that message on the answering machine and tells him to go listen to it. And Cliff ends up getting arrested for the murder of Julie Gray.
That's exactly right. And it's very dramatic.
And Pam leaves South Fork as a result.
Because, yes, she does. In the Corvette.
Well, it's really hard to live next in the bedroom at South Fork when in the bedroom next door is the brother-in-law who just pinned the murder of a woman on your innocent brother. Seeing him at breakfast, I get it.
I get it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you would do that at a breakfast table.
Yeah.
What's going on in your life, Pam? Well, my brother got arrested for murder.
And it's JR's fault.
JR, could you pass the salt?
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. So JR is very vindictive at the end. Of course, Sue Ellen's upset because she's still in love with Cliff and is possibly carrying his baby.
That's right. It's very dramatic.
We get to the Red File Part 2, episode 23.
Part 2. Yeah.
And Miss Ellie's worried about Pam.
She's very worried about
Bob. And all the while, so that's going on. Cliff's in jail. Bobby's edgy. He's pissed off because, It's a whole situation. Also, because the murder trial's happening, mm-hmm. Pam is on a leave of absence from the store because I guess the store can't have a behind the scenes buyer on staff whose brother is accused of something.
Accused of murder.
I don't think that's legal.
Bad for sales.
Is that? I don't think that's legal. I think she probably has some kind of recourse there. But we don't get into it. And God knows, in the late 70s, as a woman, she was lucky to have a job, right?
I'm going to go with yes.
I mean, and that's the thing. As women were treated, you know, still are treated, but Lord.
Yeah, exactly. But you know that JR has a little conversation with Sue Ellen and tells her she's a Ewing possession.
Like an oil lease.
Like an oil lease. Easily disposable.
Several things about this. The cruelty, but also...
Cruelty!
Also... I do appreciate Larry Hagman's, as JR, wearing a lot of safari looks in his free time and on the weekends.
Yeah.
It really looks like he's like ready to go.
Brian Fellows.
It's like he's dressed like Brian Fellows from SNL.
I'm Brian Fellows.
I'm JR Ewing. But he's going into work with a safari look, which is really bold. Part of me wonders could JR and Sue and JR and Pam not bond over fashion? You never really see them talking about fashion, but obvious they're both into it since Pam, of course, is her job at the store and then JR is wearing a safari look to work.
Dear Brian Fellows, it's true.
Yeah.
Or Tommy Bahama. I don't know.
So all the while, there's been drilling going on at Section 40 on South Fork.
Yes.
Bobby and Ray discover that the capped oil well at Section 40 has been tampered with. And so that's all going on with Ames and Gar in cahoots with that.
And Bobby gets the briefcase.
So Julie Gray, before her untimely death, had sent a letter in the U.S. mail.
That's right.
To Cliff. And so when Bobby goes to pick up Cliff's mail and get him a new shirt, since he's been in jail, they see this letter, and thank God it got there. This was before we had Louis DeJoy over the postal service. I know with the snow here in Nashville, I've not gotten a letter in weeks. So
I haven't either.
So I'm really jealous of postal service here.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought that the Postal Service, one of their like mottos was rain, sleet, snow, or shine. It started snowing in Nashville on Monday. Mm-hmm. It is now Friday.
Yeah.
And the mail hadn't come all week.
Yeah.
We don't, just so as we're all clear, we don't live that far from the post office. But
yeah, my flag is still up. I've had a DVD from Netflix because I still get DVDs from Netflix.
No, you don't. There's,
yes, I do. Right now, the Sonny and Cher movie Good Time is out there. And I've been trying to return it for a week.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Dallas.
Yes, back to Dallas.
Ames and Gar are detained at the airport because Bobby because the letter from Julie Gray said that there was that attaché case, and in it is the red file, which includes the forged wheel. Giving JR rights to drill on South Fork once Jock dies. And then it comes to light that Ames and Gar knew about that because they're using that as collateral for some loans.
Right.
Anyway, so Bobby gets wind of this, finds out by seducing the secretary at Ames and Gar's office that they're at the airport about to head out. Well, just as in an earlier episode, Miss Ellie knew the phone number right off the top of her head of the search and rescue team for Texas.
That's right.
Bobby is good friends with the head of security at DFW.
Yeah, he does. They've got connections.
So just on Bobby's word alone, they detain Ames and Gar at the airport. Yeah. And Bobby presents all this evidence and Ames and Gar confess, you know, and so they confess to being there. So that I guess they would get manslaughter instead of first degree murder.
Yeah.
So Cliff's off the hook. Yeah. Bobby burns the forged will.
Yeah.
In JR's office, and once again makes a declaration he's going to keep an eye on JR.
That's right. And Pam gives Bobby that seductive nod at the courthouse and tells him to pick her up at the hotel.
Yeah, she's coming back home.
She's coming back home.
Now that Cliff's been exonerated, I'm going to be able to live in the bedroom next door to the guy who set him up.
That's right. Otherwise known as the framer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But then the episode ends in not such a happy mood as Bobby tells Pam that she needs to grow up.
Oh, God.
And he walks off in a very dramatic fashion. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Moving ahead to Sue Ellen's sister.
Episode 24 with Fake Kristen.
With Fake Kristen. We're still back with Colleen Camp. God knows. Anytime.
So Pam's not back. Pam's back at the hotel. She was going to come home, but then something happened and all this stuff. Yeah. Bobby and Pam they love each other, but they have really high standards for each other.
That's right. That's
really
very true.
High standards for each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think they're well, again, all they need is to move out of the house, but then we wouldn't have a show.
No, I'm about to say, where would they move to? To that creepy apartment building that everybody lives in.
Or they could take the plot of land. That's the thing. It's like, build another home, you know?
Yeah.
I think
where they were going to build that Neiman Marcus and the Whataburger.
Yeah, that's surely enough for a home.
At least a modular home.
Oh, no, honey. They would build a palace.
We would hope.
I mean, that's
and definitely
thing.
Have a pool because they swim all the time.
Well, at this point, the house would have been like 2 to 3 times the size of South Fork because, you know, they would have built big.
That's true.
We have JR trying to get Kristen to have an affair with Bobby so that he can drive a wedge further between.
That's right.
Bobby and Pam. He wants Pam off of South Fork for good. Cliff, of course, is vowing to bring down the Ewings still with the OLM.
Yes.
And as much as JR wants Kristen with Bobby, the flirting between JR and Kristen just can't be denied.
It can't be. And it's a little on the side for me because I'm not a huge fan of this Kristen.
Yeah, this
knowing
Kristen.
Knowing the Kristen that's coming.
Yeah, that's knowing the Kristen that's coming. Hold out hope.
Yeah. I'm holding out hope.
Yeah, and Lucy does not like Kristen being there because if there's going to be a confused teenager who's looking for sex with older men in the house, it's going to be Lucy. Lucy tells her, you get in my way.
I do love Lucy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't everybody love Lucy? I'm just going to say it.
Sue Ellen gets wind of it all and sends Kristen packing to Santa Fe.
Yes. Everybody goes to Santa Fe or apparently Wyoming.
Yeah, or Wyoming.
Wyoming.
I'd love to go to Santa Fe. It's a lovely, lovely place.
I know. I love. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Santa Fe. Though Georgia O'Keeffe, I'm a huge fan of Georgia O'Keeffe's art. So that's where she lived, in Santa Fe.
Okay.
So moving forward, that was it was an episode that we're really getting a little more background on the sister and we're setting the stage for, you know, how the machinations of
because Kristen and Sue Ellen, I mean, that relationship's going to play huge in the next season. So
exactly.
It's good laying foundation. I'm here for this.
Yes.
And next episode, Call Girl, episode
Call
25.
Girl. Veronica moves Hamill.
What else has she been in? She plays Leanne.
Oh, she was in Hotel. That was Connie Selica. She's been, I don't know, model, actress. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
Pam moves in to the apartment of a model at the store where she works. She's back there now that Cliff has been cleared of the murder of Julie Gray.
Right.
Turns out that this friend, Leanne, who's the model, is also a former prostitute.
That's right.
Who JR knows, of course, because,
shocking.
And he sets two birds. He sets them up for two birds with one stone. I also know this one is the racquetball episode because it opens with JR and Bobby playing racquetball, and then later JR is back playing racquetball again. This is the most exercise that JR gets on camera out of bed in the entire series. You know, the only workouts he gets are in bed.
That's true.
I mean, I think once they install a gym at South Fork, he mm-hmm. gets some more exercise. But this is really the racquetball episode.
Yeah, and you'll notice too in television shows in the mid to late 70s, early 80s, into the mid 80s, and probably late 80s, racquetball is probably the number one exercise you see of characters, whether it's movies or television or anything like that, or as we get into the early to mid 80s, aerobics becomes a huge thing.
Well, and we're going to have aerobics and tennis. We have tennis on Dallas, but aerobics, we're going to have a lot of aerobics.
Mm-hmm. Swimming from Bobby and Pam.
Usually JR has got a drink on the side. Yeah. mm-hmm. But they're playing racquetball. And so there's a financier named Ben Maxwell, who's also the guy who put Cliff in his position at the OLM. Mm-hmm. And JR wants to get rid of Ben in mm-hmm. order. Well, he wants power over Ben so that Ben will remove Cliff from the Office of Land Management to take his power with the OLM over Ewing Oil, but also just to, you know, crap on Cliff because anyway. So this is really intricate. JR sets it up so that Leanne, the mm-hmm. former hooker model, now model slash Pam's new roommate, goes out and seduces Ben Maxwell, who's married, and ends up going into the wrong room where Pam has mm-hmm. just moved in. There's mm-hmm. a photographer JR has hired outside.
Yes.
And he takes a photo of Ben Maxwell looking like he's getting into bed with Pam, with Leanne there.
Yes.
And the next morning, because apparently the Dallas Morning News is also like the National Enquirer, the photo is on the front page with like Ben caught, you know, financier caught in love nest.
Yes.
Love nest was the word that they used.
Love nest is the word. Yeah. So, Veronica Hamill, by the way, Veronica Hamill is at Hill Street Blues. I knew it was one of those 80s shows with Daniel J. Travanti. She was the female lead in Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, such a good show. And so we'll see. The Pam's boss at the store also goes to Hill Street Blues as well.
Yes, she does. Oh God, what's her name? I can't think of it, but she's a wonderful character actress.
Wonderful character actress. Yeah. Later on with Sully. Oh my gosh, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Yeah. She's in this episode at the beginning mm-hmm. with the photo shoot mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. Yeah. Love her.
Several other things in this episode. Oh, so it ends up Bobby and Miss Sally and Jock all believe that Pam was not, you know, really in a three-way that ended up on the front page.
That's so true.
They believe her. And Sue Ellen and JR are shocked to see Pam back at South Fork after this. And it's really fun to see them playing with, you know, because JR has set this up to get rid of both Pam and Ben Mac and Cliff in one fell swoop, and it fails. So it's good to see JR get comeuppance in this one.
He did. And at the very last scene of this episode is JR turning and seeing Pam. And then there's a freeze frame on JR's face, and it's brilliant.
He got capiced.
So good.
Another thing going on here that I love is if you notice the music underneath the scenes between JR when she's drunk and pregnant, it is so Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, that sultry jazz of the saxophone. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, JR comes and looks at her and says, look at this, Miss Texas. You're a lush, a tramp. And then he adds, that baby is the only thing standing between you and the gutter. I mean, but it's just, you know.
It's so Lord. True.
And then, so Bobby and Ray have been investigating this whole time on the drilling at on South Fork at Section 40. And yeah. So they've gone out and looked for rustlers who would have known something about it.
That's right.
And so they ran into the son of another well-to-do oil family in Dallas, Kit Mainwaring of the Mainwaring mm-hmm. fortune. Kit, right. This is a two-episode arc for Kit Mainwaring. He is kind of trying to find his way, kind of like Gary with Jock, just trying to come to have a relationship with his dad. His dad wants him to have more interest in the family business. So they've had some rustlers with their cattle as well, because who doesn't have an oil company and a bunch of cattle, too? I mean, that's what you have out there. So yeah. Kit Mainwaring comes over. And Lucy is on the hunt, you know, because Lucy just lights up. She's like, I want that.
Yeah.
Next time, she's like, Grandma, next time we have a party, can we invite the Mainwarings? And of course, you know, so this becomes a plot point in the next episode, Royal
yes,
Marriage.
Yes, it does. Just Royal Marriage. Into,
because Lucy is to be married off, and for Jock and JR, they see it as a strategic marriage.
That's right.
That they can go and do business with Mainwaring Oil. They really like this match. And Kit Mainwaring's parents like the idea of him settling down with Lucy, who is still in high school.
Yeah, still there. still there.
So they start dating. And Kit, mm-hmm. you know, they're at the beginning, they're out at the disco, shaking it.
The discotheque.
And Lucy, you know, is out late, I guess, at the disco, even though she probably has to be at school at 8 in the morning. She's probably going to be tired for homeroom.
Don't want to be late for homeroom.
I know. So they go, and, you know, they go to Kit's apartment, which is a very lovely apartment, and they mm-hmm. play some backgammon. Kit has a butler named Jesus, and they play backgammon, and they start to make out, but Kit's like, I don't want to sleep with you because I respect you. And so Lucy's like, okay, and I'm also in high school. I guess I better get home for homework.
I got to get home for homework.
I got to test tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want you to note, though, this is another great thing of having bigger televisions now to really see the detail. Mm-hmm. There's a painting of a rooster on the wall at Kit's house, at Kit's apartment. There's a rooster. So rooster. A real cock of the walk situation. So next time we see Lucy and Kit at the disco.
Yes.
There's a guy who comes up and says hello, who is Kit's former roommate. And Kit looks very worried. The roommate looks happy, but also really sad and pained to see Kit again.
Yeah.
Well, we come to find out, you know,
Kit. That it wasn't just a roommate situation.
Kit didn't want to, you know, sleep with her because he respected her, and he has a painting of a cock on his wall. After they see the friend at the disco, Kit decides it's time to go and have sex with Lucy.
Yes, he does.
And he's got to get her home because she's a high schooler.
That's right.
But they have sex, and it really looks, you know, it looks like they're in love. Kit comes to
looks
see.
Looks can be deceiving.
Kit comes to see Bobby.
Yes.
The morning after having sex with Bobby's niece, who's a high schooler.
Yeah. Still a high schooler.
And at this point, they're engaged, right? They got engaged.
They have gotten engaged at one of the parties.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody's excited about it. Kit's parents are worried about him. And
it's proposed, and I said,
yeah. Oh, gosh. Anyway, so they have the sex, and then Kit comes to see Bobby and says that he's got to call off the wedding. And it's not a good thing. Just trust me on this. And Sheree, I want you to deliver the line.
Oh, do I know the line? Did I write the line?
What is?
Well, Kit says that he is a homosexual.
Bobby, I'm a homosexual.
Yeah, he doesn't even say gay. He just says
homosexual.
I'm a homosexual.
I slept with Lucy and it didn't change anything. It didn't, you know. Well, JR knew about...
It didn't change anything.
Yeah. Really? So JR apparently knew all about Kit's homosexual dalliances. Because, you know, we'd seen his conversations with his dad. It was really about gambling and drinking. Which, for me, yeah. It's just like, well, that doesn't... I mean, he's a rich old baron's son.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a time of going out. I mean, everybody on the show's an alcoholic, even though Sue Ellen's the only one we're diagnosing. So, you know, that wouldn't be a problem. But it turns out that he has had some homosexual activity.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, this episode I watched before I came out. And so it was really a thing of, I was shocked to see a gay person even on Dallas at this point. Because this is even two years before we get Dynasty with Stephen.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Carrington, who is bisexual, I guess it ends up. I think he's gay. Is but to see, I mean, I do think they treat Kit, especially for 1979, with a lot of respect this. He's not made fun of. JR even says, you know, there are a lot of women who are married to gay men and it works out fine for them. But
I was glad. I will be fair that I am glad that they didn't make it so, you know, that it wasn't a JR line that was so demeaning to, you know, because at the time it wouldn't have been out of character for JR to say something very
really awful.
And I'm glad the writers decided that wasn't the way they were going to play it.
Now does JR give a crap if Lucy or Kit are happy in the marriage? No, he doesn't care.
Absolutely.
Because as you can see with Sue Ellen, he's not a happy marriage, you know.
It means nothing to him.
It means nothing.
It's a business
arrangement. Yeah.
Of course.
This episode's called Royal Marriage, and this really is a lot like what we see on The Crown with the pairing of, you know, Charles and Diana.
Yeah.
You know, all the royal family.
True.
Yeah, so Kit ends up telling Lucy, and...
She's devastated.
She's really hurt, but she covers so that there won't be a scandal. She makes it so that she broke up with Kit and covers so that JR can't go and have something, because all the while JR has been using this relationship to go and have meetings with Main Wearing Oil to have them come on as a partner for Ewing Oil, because it's all about money.
Of course it is. I did read, and you may have read the same thing, Hunter, that this is one of Charlene Tilton's favorite episodes.
Well,
this because it was so well done.
Well, and Lucy really, this is a Lucy being showing a lot of emotions. This is really some of the best acting we see from Charlene Tilton.
100%. And it shows that the character is a little wise beyond her years in some ways. I mean, we still see, because we're going into the next episode. But she does. There are certain things. Lucy's a tender heart. She's like her mama, Baleen.
And but I do want to say, you know, I host a show on Apple Music Country called Proud Radio, and it's about LGBTQ country artists. And so for me, like having, you know, when Kit is talking to Lucy about being gay, he's like, I've got to learn to like myself the way I am, which that, like, you know, I think about, you know, a gay kid out there watching this, it's like, wow, you know, to see the growth of him and his moving towards self-acceptance is great.
Right.
So all the while, Sue Ellen is so drunk she can't stand up straight at breakfast in this episode.
That's right.
And then at the end, Bobby sides. Was it JR? Is this the episode where she gets the car?
No, Bobby gives her the car, correct?
Is this the episode where Bobby gives her the car?
I think, yes,
it is. Yes, it is. So, high school student. Sorry your fiance was gay and you're not getting married. But we've decided now that, you know, you're responsible enough to be a wife. You're responsible enough to drive a car of your own.
Yeah, cute car, too.
It is a cute car. But I just thought that was so funny. It's like... You know, Bobby wants to take her mind off. Here's a car.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Here's a car.
Sorry your fiance was gay. Here's a car.
Here's a car. After she'd been asking for it, now we're in 25 episodes.
Yeah.
previous.
Lucy finally, yeah. She's been held at gunpoint twice, had a broken engagement with a gay man.
Yeah.
I think she did. She's earned this car.
She really has. We're at two thumbs up to Lucy in the car.
Oh my gosh. So we're on the home stretch
here. We're home stretch right here. We've got a couple more episodes. Yep. Couple more episodes. The Outsiders. This is one of my favorite episodes of the season.
Okay. So we meet. I mean, this is another thing. I feel like in this first season, there's a bit of speed dating in that you're asked to meet all these new people.
Yes.
And so some of them, you know, like Guzzler, well, for obvious reasons, because the actor died, you're not going to see again. You're not going to see Garnet McGee again.
Right.
But Donna and Sam Culver on the scene. And this is the arrival of Susan Howard. And she actually had worked with Leonard Katzman, the Svengali of Dallas, on a show in the 70s. And so he'd wanted her as a part of the show from the beginning. He wanted her to read for one of the parts. I think either Sue Ellen or Pam. Mm-hmm. He offered her the part of Garnet McGee. He wrote the role of Donna Culver for Susan Howard. That's unfortunately, right. Susan Howard is now a big NRA person, and that's unfortunate, but we won't hold it against her. hold it against Donna. I do hold it against Susan Howard.
Yeah, exactly. let's be clear, people. Let's be clear.
So for me, every time I hear the song Tight Fitting Jeans by Conway Twitty, in which Conway talks about a high dollar woman coming into the bar doing some slumming and some tight fitting jeans, I think about Ray and Donna, because
Ray
Krebs is out at the bar. Yeah. And of course, still heartbroken over he wanted to marry Garnet McGee.
That's right.
So he meets Donna. She's alone so he's alone. They're both alone at the bar, and they end up meeting and seeing each other.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because she's married.
She's married to a much older man, Sam Culver.
A much older man. It's not quite Anna Nicole Smith, but close.
Very close. She's married to Sam Culver, who has a lot of power in Ewing in Texas politics.
That's right.
So JR gets wind of the fact that Ray is sleeping with Donna. Donna's been over to South Fork with Sam Culver.
Right.
And then JR gets wind of the fact that she's sleeping with Ray Krebs, and Ray Krebs does not know that Donna's married, or that she's married to one of the most powerful political figures in Texas. JR ends up using this because he wants Cliff Barnes out of the OLM, and that still hasn't happened. So he blackmails Donna to get Sam to get rid of Cliff Barnes at the OLM.
That's right.
And this is when Lucy gets her car, and it's Ewing 5. Okay.
This is the one?
Yeah, this is the episode.
I thought she got it at the end of the last episode.
At the end of the last episode, she was really upset, crying.
That's right.
Kit.
100%. 100%.
It's going to hurt a long time.
Yeah.
So you really see Bobby emerging as, you know, loving Pam, but also as a real caretaker, a shoulder to cry on for Sue Ellen and Lucy. He's a very sensitive man who fights when he needs to.
Yeah, because this is also the episode that Sue Ellen is replaced as the president of the DOA.
She is removed as president of the Daughters of the Alamo.
Without being told. They're at the party, and they ask Miss Ellie to do the honors. And in conversation.
Well, because surprise, surprise, Sue Ellen is drunk at the DOA meeting.
Pregnant and drunk.
So you got all this going on with Ray and Donna. Donna eventually tells Ray that she's married, but that she's going to divorce Sam and she's leaving Dallas because she's got to figure her life out.
Yes.
But this is the beginning of an ongoing love story between Donna and Ray. So Donna Culver will be back. Sam and Donna side with Cliff Barnes against JR. Donna told Sam about JR's blackmail. And Ray is upset, but he sees a lot at the end of the tunnel. He's going forward with plans to build his house on the section of land at South Fork that yes. Jock got for him, gave to him.
That's right.
Yeah.
And and we see Ray and Donna at the Starlight Motel.
Yeah.
Just FYI. Yeah. The Starlight.
Probably
a very upscale establishment.
Well, on the side of the road. Well, and that's the thing for Ray. Ray knew something was up.
Yeah.
I guess they can't go to his bunkhouse.
I would be a little cheesy.
But he knows something's up because she didn't have a place that she can take him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Also in this episode, Peter Horton of 30-something fame.
Oh, you know how much I love him.
Is a teenager dealing drugs to Lucy.
Right.
Lucy gets the car, but to deal with her heartbreak from breaking up with Kit Mayne wearing the homosexual fiance, she gets on pills.
She's on speed. Speed. I'm just saying, I love Lucy. And that Peter Horton, who I love, mm-hmm. and also the first husband of the actress Michelle Pfeiffer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They were married. And I wonder if they were married right after this or before this or during this.
Well, also the brunette friend who's also encouraging Lucy to do drugs. So Lucy has this group of shady friends at this point.
Very shady.
Peer pressuring her to do speed at the pool at South Fork.
Yes.
So one of them, the brunette, is in Mommy Dearest. If you go and watch the classic film with Faye Dunaway, Mommy Dearest,
right.
the friend, the brunette friend who's peer pressuring her is also an uptight friend who turns in Christina Crawford to school mistress in Mommy Dearest for making out with her boyfriend.
That's right. In the stables.
And who is the headmistress at that school? None other than Priscilla Pointer, who will come on the scene of Dallas very soon. So
it's amazing.
So the fact that the Dallas and Mommy Dearest connections for me as a gay man who loves camp are real treats.
Oh my gosh. I love it. And I love Mommy Dearest. That was a great movie.
The women of South Fork, Lucy's on speed. Yep. Of course, Sue Ellen is boozing.
Yeah. But it's really interesting that we see Lucy get pretty much become a full somewhat of a drug addict in this episode.
Really? It was 0 to 100. There was no, you know, trying to control it. By episode 28, John Ewing the Third, part one.
That's right.
Lucy is high as a kite. Sue Ellen is drunk. She is going to the obstetrician's office for a checkup on her baby, and she is downing booze from the flask before she even goes in.
Exactly. That baby is swimming.
The obstetrician said, "The effects of large amounts of alcohol on a fetus are not completely known yet, but you are putting your baby at great risk." Well, Sue Ellen's not hearing that. She's like, "I'll just go to another obstetrician if you're going to tell me. I don't have a drinking problem." Yeah. Whoa. So the obstetrician's finally, you know, Sue Ellen is, thank God somebody's finally saying, "Oh my God, you're drinking insanely while you're pregnant."
That's right.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was really interesting that whole drinking and mm-hmm. being pregnant and throughout the whole pregnancy.
Yeah.
We've seen her being drunk.
Yeah. And then Lucy's buying jewelry at the store and then going and pawning it for drug money. So in the span of one episode, Lucy has gone from just trying speed to now using her charge card at the store and forgetting that she has a meetup with Pam to pick out her prom dress. Because let's not forget that Lucy is a senior in high school.
High school. Yes, she is.
Broken engagement, drug problem. High school.
Kidnapped twice.
She's already committing credit. Well, not credit card fraud, but she's definitely stealing money through pawning expensive jewelry.
Yeah. I'm going to say that it's where they got the idea in Reality Bites, the 1990s movie Reality Bites, for Winona Ryder to use her father's gas card and take cash and use it at the gas station and offer customers to pay for their gas if they just give her cash.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, ingenious way to do things.
Well, and of course, later, Winona Ryder at the Saks in Beverly Hills actually did do some shoplifting.
She did. And I will tell you that I still have my free Winona t-shirt from that time. And I'm not eBaying it.
Well, I mean, I just, the first time I saw that particular Saks, I was like, oh my God, Winona Saks. Yep. So she's, Lucy's paying for the jewelry, but she's still hawking it.
Yes. For a one, like 1/4 of the price.
Mm-hmm.
Because so, that's what drug addicts do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this happened. This escalated quickly. I mean, it's not even heroin. It's just speed, but she's going all in on it. So Sue Ellen drinking a lot. She goes into Jarrah's office. They're supposed to go to a fundraiser for a hospital. Well, Jarrah never shows up. Sue Ellen gets hammered, calls Cliff, has a complete breakdown, does some insane drunk driving, and then, thank God, pulls over to the side of the road before she passes out.
That's right. That's right.
And then Bobby and Pam come upon Sue Ellen's grocery getter, her country squire, station wagon, on the side of the road.
That's right.
And, you know, and it's funny because they just pull in with both their cars. I guess they're following each other home. They pull in with both their cars. It's really kind of like a Charlie's Angels on the scene or some kind of superhero thing. They just pull in and then get her. So Sue Ellen's upset that Cliff is moving on. Miss Ellie gives JR a good talking to once he comes home, and you know, Sue Ellen's been discovered on the side of the road.
Yes.
She gives it to him. She's like, I don't know that you have any redeeming qualities. You didn't even bother to be discreet most of the time. That girl's loved you since you brought her here, and you've just destroyed her.
Yeah.
Of course, JR then takes all that and loads it on Sue Ellen.
Of course.
I mean,
because it's we find out that Miss Ellie is very aware of what's going on under her own roof. Mm-hmm. She's very, very aware of that, which I think is very telling about Miss Ellie too.
Well, and I guess that, you know, that I mean, it's really a weird thing because they want to stay out of their children's lives, yet they pretty much force them to live in the family home.
Absolutely.
So, you know. Maybe cut the cord, Miss Ellie.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So Sue Ellen is
hammered. This is the dramatic moment where she is drunk at the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
With Lucy high as a kite at the bottom.
Well, let's review what Lucy's been going through. So Lucy is high, and she ends up going over to Ray's house because she would like some sex with Ray while she's high.
That's
he says no. Oh, and to add insult to injury.
Yeah.
We hear on the radio that Garnet McGee has a new single out on the radio called Last Chance for Love. She's made it as a country singer.
Yes.
Because she did. Garnet was savvy. We didn't talk about this, but she made JR hold up his end of the bargain, even though they wouldn't be boinking.
That's right.
She had a contract. And so she, I guess, JR arranged it for her to go to Nashville with Down Home Records and become a success. So she has a hit single. Poor Ray. Lucy's off the rails. She's at a party. They come in and Bobby and Ray rescue her. Lord. Well, anyway. So they're like, oh, I guess we can leave him at the house. It'll be fine. Lucy's there. And she's promised me she won't do drugs anymore. That I've talked to her, Bobby says. Well, she gets back into the drugs.
Yes, she does.
Okay, so Sue Ellen's coming down the stairs with her suitcase. I guess she thinks she's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And she falls down the stairs.
She does.
And Lucy's
in very dramatic fashion.
Lucy's so out of it, she's just giggling. She doesn't know what's going on.
It's very sad.
I know.
That she can't form a thought.
Yeah. Which I'm like, if you're on speed, doesn't that make you actually more hyper aware and make you just move quicker?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think. But it makes her just go not able to respond at all.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, thank God, comes back to the house because all the women are either drunk or high at South Fork. And so he calls an ambulance, and it's so serious. They're not even messing with Braddock Emergency. They're taking the ambulance, is taking Sue Ellen right directly to Dallas Memorial, which is where we go when things are really intense.
That's right.
Sue Ellen is in denial. There's nothing wrong with her. She says she's going to be fine. Jock basically tells JR to handle his woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And so...
out of control.
Yeah. So at the end of this episode...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The man in white coats.
Yeah. Sue Ellen's going to the sanitarium and she is pissed.
Going to the set. Yeah.
Which, I mean...
They don't even call it drug rehab. It's the sanitarium.
It's the sanitarium. Which, for me, it's weird because I think this... The building they used is some kind of mansion that they used in a lot of TV shows around this time for a mansion.
Yeah.
They used this building, this mansion, as heaven in an episode of St. Elsewhere Howie Mandel's character dies and goes into purgatory / heaven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that explains why there's no parking lot at this drug rehab center sanitarium, because JR just pulls right up to the door, which the Ewings always just pull up right up to the door anywhere they go. An airport loading area. Yeah. They will park in a fire zone right outside Ewing Oil. So, I mean, that's not uncommon.
Yeah. And they have Ewing on their license plate. So I guess it's okay.
Well, so the cops will know. I mean, Harry McSween will fix, they got people everywhere that can fix stuff on. But Sue Ellen is in the sanitarium. Bobby has a special moment with Lucy saying, you got to quit those. I mean, it's a real after school special moment. You got to quit those pills. You got to feel the hurt of your broken engagement. High school senior. I mean, a real moment.
Real moment.
Yeah. And then we go to John Ewing, the third part two.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's the last episode of the season.
And wow. So this is the first cliffhanger, the official really cliffhanger that we have. Do we have a cliffhanger in the miniseries?
But not
on this level. Like this, this is the level of a Dallas cliffhanger. So let's get into it. Sue Ellen.
Yes.
Sue Ellen is trying to put on a happy face for the doctor at the sanitarium, but she is angry that she has to be stuck. She's locked in here, and she's just had several great breakdowns over the course of this episode.
That's right. That's right. She's madder than a wet hen. That's what she is. She is mad. And Pam and Cliff have an argument. It's a lot going on this.
There's a lot. Pam blames Cliff for driving Sue Ellen to the bottle because and then Miss Ellie goes to see Sue Ellen, and Sue Ellen just puts on this big show. She's like, I couldn't say no to those charities. I was just tired, you know. but honey, Miss Ellie knows. Ellie knows.
She does.
And then later Bobby comes to visit, and Sue Ellen has two breakdowns. One, she has a breakdown she's allowed to walk with Bobby. She has a complete breakdown out in the yard of the sanitarium. She has a breakdown where she confesses to Bobby that Cliff is probably the father.
That's right. That's a big confession from Sue Ellen to Bobby.
So it's just, you know, it's a whole mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, JR stonewall, Jock tries to come in and ask about it, and JR just stonewalls him. Yep. He blames it on Sue Ellen's pregnancy. But JR comes to see Sue Ellen, and he brings the newspaper, and there's a photo of Cliff with his new woman in the society page. That's the breakdown right there. And that's the breakdown there. So the nurse has been offering Sue Ellen, she's like, you're a rich lady. There are ways to get things that you need. And so she fingers Sue Ellen's pearls around her neck. So after Sue Ellen discovers that Cliff has moved on, she says, screw it. I'm going to get some booze. Well, she goes to town. The pearls are gone, but the nurse is bringing her all kinds of booze. And Sue Ellen's just, you know, drunk in the sanitarium, doesn't even try to hide it.
Yeah. And they lock her in that room, too.
They do lock her in the room, but at least she's in there with a friend. Booze.
She is.
the way that the nurse says, she's like, there are ways to get things that you need. Booze.
That's right.
The way booze. She says, booze. Anyway, so this is where reality just comes in, and it's not farcical or over the top at all. As Sue Ellen, drunk out of her mind, takes her water pitcher and conks the nurse over the head. And escapes from the sanitarium, finds a car with keys in it, and then is drinking and driving, escaping the sanitarium, ends up running the car into a phone pole.
Oh, it's terrible.
So Sue Ellen crashes the car and ends up where? Back at Dallas Memorial, so you know it's serious.
It's very serious.
Well,
just not Brantwood or what's it called?
Braddock Memorial. Braddock Emergency. Braddock Emergency.
Yep.
So Cliff, you know, so she's there. She has to go in. They have to do a C-section right then to get the baby is 8 weeks premature. Cliff hears about it on the radio because, of course, the news that, you know, just earlier as Pam's alleged three-way was on the front page of the news, the news that the wife of an oil baron has had an accident and is now in emergency C-section surgery, that's all been confirmed and on the radio.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, let's just give it up because over the course of Dallas, you're going to hear the radio reporters are on it. Like they have, just as the Ewings have people everywhere, the radio reporters in Dallas have eyes everywhere. So they know that Sue Ellen's in an emergency C-section. So Cliff heads down to Dallas Moore because that's his baby and it's going to be raised as a Barnes. He has a full-on breakdown with Pam.
He really does.
I mean, he's going to be raised as a Barnes.
The Ken Kirchhoff moment.
So we don't know. So John Ross Ewing III is born. He will be known as John Ross.
That's right.
For a while, it's baby John, but then he becomes known as John Ross for the rest of his life. But it's touch and go. At the end, JR is by Sue Ellen's bedside. They're not sure if she's going to live. And JR kind of wakes up and realizes what happened. What happened? We were so happy at the beginning. She's just got to live. She's so beautiful. What happened? And I wanted to be like, you're a man whore, JR. That's what happens. You're very cruel. Can we roll the tape back from a few episodes back? That's what happened, JR. You're awful. Anybody would lose their mind married to you.
It was a very touching moment.
It was a touching moment, but also a bunch of crap.
It really was.
But it's funny, you know, this scene at a lot of cliffhangers of Dallas will happen at Dallas Memorial. Like it's a real hotbed for cliffhangers because somebody's life is in the balance. So right now it's Sue Ellen and JR actually cries. I mean, JR is in tears.
I know. I'm like, who is this person?
Yeah. So, I mean, their relationship is really sick, as we'll see even more of, because there is this thing where there's something that keeps them together. And I think they remember and you see it come and go. But gosh, the cruelty. Yeah.
The cruelty. Because, you know, she's just a Ewing. She's a Ewing possession.
She's a possession.
Yeah.
So I got to say, though. I think for me, it was seeing Sue Ellen conk the nurse over the head, get in the car,
drive and drunk.
Yeah, in the Pontiac.
In a Pontiac. That's right.
Hit a pole. Like, it was just, I was like, oh my God, we are here. I wanted to ask you, since you work in soap operas, what is this called? Because it is a little bit of like, oh my, you're just like watching in disbelief at this.
Right. Suspension of disbelief.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is suspension of disbelief. Yeah. I guess that's why, you know, we ask about it, but I go with it on Dallas.
Yes, I have to go with it because it's I love the fact that she escaped from this sanitarium where she has been in a locked room. Mm-hmm. She steals the car and not a soul sees her.
Yeah.
But well, she was in a locked room.
Well, you know, but she, the door was open when she conked her out.
Well, that's true. But, you know, you would think that the nurse is not the only staff that's there at the, you know.
Maybe it was a shift change.
Maybe she planned it out.
Yeah.
That's Sue Ellen. She's smart.
Anyway, so I'm
Beauty
just.
Beauty queen.
I cannot wait for the next set of episodes. And
yes.
If you're, you know, following along, please join us. We're going to be
stay with us.
Because from now on. It's a full serial. It's, you know, it, and I'm just, Yeah, I cannot wait. But this
episode, only gets better. It only gets better.
But I would say the episodes that stick with me from this batch that I go back to on their own are the Kit Main wearing episode. I go back to Garnet McGee.
Yeah, Garnet McGee.
I go back to the last three where we meet Donna Culver and then the birth of John Ross and Sue
Ellen. That's right.
I mean, these are just classic, classic episodes that I go back classic to episodes. Repeatedly.
That's very true. And you gotta love the way it's going.
And I really don't remember the last time I had watched the Guzzler episode. And it will probably be a while before I rewatch that again.
Yeah, that's a haunting one.
I'm gonna have to have a job where I'm paid for it to watch the Guzzler episode.
Exactly. Again. You and me both, right? One of these days.
Rest in peace to that actor, but Lord.
That's exactly right.
Okay, well, Sheree, this is just the greatest.
It's the greatest. Gift. I love it so much. And I'm going to give a shout out to my cousin Diane and our husband Matt, who are our big, big fans of our podcast. So thank you for listening, because, you know, she's got the Charlene Tilton hair. I'm going to send you some pictures that she emailed me, and I'll post them.
I mean, Charlene, through it all, even when she was high as a kite, Charlene Tilton's hair looked great.
I tell you, they're just wonderful.
Yeah.
Gosh, so jealous. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back soon with the next set of episodes. And love to all of our friends in Texas right now. We're sending you all love and hugs and lots of all good vibes. And Hunter, until the next time.
Okay. Thank you, Shabir.
Wow, we are officially done with seasons 1 and 2 of Dallas. We are having so much fun, and we hope you all are too. We'll be back soon with our next episode. But if you would like to follow us on the socials, please do so at Soap Opera Royalty on Facebook, at Soap Opera Royalty Podcast on Instagram, and at Soap_Royalty on Twitter. If you have a comment, suggestion, or just generally something you want to add, please email me at soapoperaroyalty@gmail.com. Friends, I can't thank you enough for your likes, for your shares, for telling everybody about the podcast. We really, really appreciate it. Until next time, be safe, be well, and thanks for listening to the Soap Opera Royalty Podcast.